And I again, we're trying to do things in a way that they're not repetitive. David has some additional concerns that he addressed at planning and zoning, and he's going to address those concerns here. And I'm not going to ask him a bunch of questions.
As long as you have me to work by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, it's okay with me.
Just refer a lot to what they said already.
Can you see that at all?
No, we can't.
I'm about to turn around. Is that all right?
That's better.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Thank you.
David, I would ask you to introduce your organization and your background.
My name is Dave Ennis, and I'm a resident of the town of Lewis on Harborview Road. In the way of background, I have been to the School of Hard Knocks in that I have sat in a chair something like what you gentlemen are sitting in tonight, and I have gone without some dinners like you are at the moment, and I appreciate your time, and I will try to be very brief.
Hardest part's staying awake.
I understand, especially when you're on the third round of transportation discussions.
Okay.
I do have an observation, however, about our transportation consultant I'd like to report to you. I have to think that his study was done in the warm weather, because I saw that our councilwoman, Barbara, was on her bicycle riding to yoga on that transportation study. I have an observation I'd like to share with you, if I may, before I get to some of my details, and that is that I suspect that there hasn't been an organized effort of concern in the town of Lewis like there is today since the day they were talking about building a coal and oil port in the Delaware Bay. And I would offer to you that it took a very, very risky decision on the part of a state leader to figure out that that wasn't going to be good for Lewis. And it was not an easy decision for a lot of people, and it was a very close vote. And a lot of business people were very much in favor of it, including business people he had worked with. I think you know that I'm talking about Russell Peterson. But I would also submit to you that that decision is why we're here tonight. Because had that act not been passed, had that port become a city port, had it become a working man's port, we wouldn't be discussing the shopping center we are tonight. I think it's a fact that we have evolved into a wonderful community and something that's very, very unique. I have a couple handouts, but before I do that, I'd like to go through a couple points, if I may. Trying to be specific. The PLUS review letter dated April 23rd on page 7 has under the discussion impervious cover, and it reads as follows, quote, based on the information provided by the applicant in the PLUS application, the applicant estimated post-construction surface impervious of 21% on the residential unit called the Governor's and 61% on the shopping center. However, and this is the quote from the PLUS review. However, given the scope and the density of this project, this estimate is likely a significant underestimate. That's in bold print from the state. Some of the reasons for this underestimate are the applicant's improper use of natural area, potential wetlands and our buffers, and or stormwater management areas to meet the county's open space requirement. On page 9, a similar comment, quote, the water supply section recommends that portion of the new development within the wellhead protection area and or excellent ground cover area not exceed 20%. Some allowance for augmenting groundwater recharge should be considered if the impervious surface covers more than 20% but is less than 50%. However, in the development, it should never exceed 50%. Page 11 of the state's response letter shows a colored map that illustrates that almost all of the proposed shopping center lies within, and I wanted to try my beam if I may, lies within the wellhead protection area. That's all the shopping center. This is the excellent recharge area where most of the residential area is. The applicant submitted for the shopping center that 61.4%. However, on a subsequent document dated somewhere around September the 7th, 2007, they state very clearly in two places that, quote, should the area in reserve be developed in the future, We estimate the same degree of development in this area would change our impervious percentages to 77.5 to 80% as a total build-out. I'd like just to repeat, the state recommended never to exceed 50%. The applicant's report states it will be 77 to 80% if they fulfill the projected build-out. A quick review of the data, which has been described as underestimated by the state, included by the applicant for two of the three projects, indicates that the impervious surface for the shopping center is 1,826,000 square feet, and for the governor's complex, 1,680,000. No amount could be found on the internet for the senator's complex, but we estimated 1 million square feet, which would bring the total impervious surface to 4,506,579 square feet. I'd like to shift from the discussion of pre-used water to post-used water. The original West Rehoboth spray irrigation system was designed, as I understand it, for about 8,000 additional homes, covering a range of service from Cave Neck Road above Nassau, down Route 1 to include Love Creek, and then back down into the Rehoboth area. It's hard to imagine that since that was built, we haven't already exceeded the 8,000 homes. Reading in that report again, under the county engineer's comments, the following appears. The proposed project is within the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer System, and connection to the sanitary sewer is mandatory. The project conforms to the West Rehoboth planning study and system design assumptions for sewer service. A sewer concept plan for providing sewer service to the area, including this project, was approved. And I have put in quote, this plan requires extensive regional construction to be completed by the developer with the added requirement to participate in and contribute funds to a necessary treatment plant upgrade in accordance with an approved sequence of construction. A multitude of questions come to my mind if this project's approved, and will they be acquiring, what's the size of the expansion of the treatment plant? And when is it likely to get done? And what if the developer were to fall on hard times? That's not a wish. I happen to believe that we heard here a few weeks ago the representatives from the Peninsula facility, which most of us think of as a pretty upscale institution, and they were requesting from the county, I believe, permission to delay the building of their clubhouse. Right. And one of their residents was here objecting to that because it was part of their contract.
Absolutely.
So I offer to you that some very well-to-do and very successful builders can find themselves on hard times. If there's any public money required to be used from this expansion process, where's that coming from, and has that money been appropriated? I have several other points that have come to the surface while discussing this with environmental staff members at DENREC. When I asked the question about the community, coastal communities facing a rising sea level issue, and one that we had a conference on in Lewis a few months ago, I was told, quote, we have had a 1 foot rise of sea level over the past century, and the best estimates are that we can conservatively expect a rise of 2 feet, double the rate in the next century. The vulnerability is not simply the houses or the structures, but the entire supporting infrastructure that's required, which in many instances may be more vulnerable to the impacts of gradual sea rise. This gentleman goes on. What should be of much greater concern are the gradual chronic impacts from a sea level rise that will disproportionately affect low-lying coastal plain areas like Sussex County. While minor rises in the sea level may not flood or inundate any development, they might decrease the carrying capacity of the area. This will be observed in things like, one, more saturated soils in areas like the Wolf Neck spray irrigation system due to higher water tables that reduce the soil's capacity to infiltrate treated wastewater. The loss of groundwater due to the combined impact of increased extraction and saltwater intrusions caused by the increased pressure of gradient of high sea levels. The decreased stormwater capacity, I want to say that again, the decreased stormwater capacity due to reduced elevation differences between the level of land being drained and the outfalls of the drainage pipes. Even with 6 inches of rise over the next 50 years, the backwater effect of regional drainage could be highly significant. And this gentleman goes on. as we at the state level develop new policies that address the siting of public infrastructure, wastewater facilities, roads that do not flood during evacuation periods, groundwater protection, the solution of armoring our shoreline isn't the best answer. Planning for here and now is not the best solution. I also learned from another governmental employee that no one, either at the state nor the county level, keeps a running summary of stormwater discharge totals into a common stream corridor as the growth and development occurs around a perimeter of a watershed. I'd like to call to your attention the colored map over here. And if this works, if I'm not mistaken, this is the shopping center component along Gills Neck, or along Kings Highway. This would be Gills Neck Road. This would be the governor's facility, and this would be the senator's facility. But what is not reported and what is not being analyzed at the moment is that there's an application from the owner of the golf course, the par three. This is Bay Crossings. This is Dove Knoll, and this area back here, which abuts the exact same stream corridor, is Dove Knoll 2 and 3. Not all of those developments are full. No one has a cumulative runoff discharge feeling from, as I understand it, from talking to the state officials. In conclusion, I'd like to say a few things about the handouts that I have for you, if I may. And John, maybe you can help me with these handouts, if you will. I believe there's a letter, and then there's an exhibit packet for each person. If you just, would you mind passing those down?
No, no, no.
There is an illustration on that chart over there which confuses me, and I'm not an engineer by any stretch of the imagination, but I also have a small copy that I'm going to pass over for you folks to take a look at. In terms of the study, there's a protrusion that comes out of the side of the senators and goes right into the side of the governors, and it commingles, if you will, the boundary lines. I've never seen that before. But you've heard from the presentation of the applicant that they are talking about utilities of every fashion will be commingled. So many of us believe, first, that this project has changed dramatically since it was first looked at by the State Plus system. Secondly, we would much prefer that this project not go forward. But thirdly, if it were to be deemed that it had merit, we would strongly suggest that you actually ask them to return to the state with a comprehensive submission under one grant, one application, that could be looked at in its entirety so we can get a handle on what the consequences will be. With that, I'd like to suggest that I have a very dear friend who has taken a long ride to come down to join us tonight, at the same time that he had many other things to do with his duties as an elected official. Mm-hmm. And I think that most of you probably do know Bob Weiner. He and I met 25 years ago. We have served together for about 24 of those 25 years, and he has served as a national leader on new urbanism and is a well-respected expert in that field. I'd like to have John introduce him officially. Thank you, Bob.
Again, Mr. Weiner was introduced to us by Dave Ennis, and then as the attorney for the opposition, I thought that Mr. Weiner could add some salient points to smart growth and how his experience with smart growth looks at a project such as this.
Thank you. Of course, we know each other well. I come to you today as a land use attorney with over 30 years of practice. Working in the area across the country, right now I'm engaged with the state of Maryland around 6 military bases planning new urbanist villages where they've found that they have the same sorts of issues we have here. I'm also working with 11 parishes known as, we call them counties in Louisiana as well. My background is also, as you may know, the National Association of Counties Land Use and Growth Management Chairman. I've served in that capacity for the last 8 years, having been reappointed by 8 successive presidents, both Democratic and Republican. I'm very proud of that to represent Delaware and Newcastle County. For the last 6 years, I've also served and been reappointed as well by past NACO presidents as the chairman of what we call the Smart Growth Committee or the Sustainability Leadership Team. My background is I write legislation. I make presentations before American Planning Association, AIA, Congress of New Urbanism, New Partners for Smart Growth, representing over 2,000 of our counties in the country. I'm here today as a land use consultant. I've been asked to focus on the question of how do other counties view these dilemmas, both Newcastle County and elsewhere, and what are the principles of sound land use planning that are applied. First, I'd like to start off by saying that elected officials on a county level are much maligned undeservedly because we face the issues of development every day. And whether people want to hear it or not, development is not only a fact of life, but absolutely essential and necessary. And for those that say no growth, I just want to refer them to the United States Constitution, which does protect the right appropriation, and therefore growth is guaranteed. Of course, here in this county, we have great draws. We have low taxes. We've got great tourism. It's a great place to retire. So it's a retirement community, and it's also a tourism draw. And we want to make sure that as we do planning, we don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg, and there are always ways to improve our mousetrap. We in Newcastle County are very admiring of Sussex County because you've done some things that we haven't done yet very well. Your affordable housing ordinance, which you continue to tweak as you live with it, is very admirable, and you've tackled the issue of the necessity for office. And you continue to challenge that and massage that, and so you should be very proud. We also know that the state elected officials love to point their fingers at us and use us as a scapegoat because they don't recognize that we're on the front line and that we have to manage that growth, and it's just not fair for them to do that. We also know the State Department of Transportation doesn't say no. They don't say yes. They don't say anything. It's sort of like what they do is they say, oh, you want to build this? Let's use the analogy to the Titanic. We'll tell you how to make the chairs on the sinking deck more comfortable as it's going down. But they really never say, you know, whether you should go thumbs up or thumbs down. And they'll tell you, we're not in the mission. It's not our mission to say yes or no. So having said that, you know, I just want to analyze a few things that I'm very admiring of as I look at Sussex County. Your Five Points Village, Village of Five Points, is one of the finest examples of new urbanist mixed use that I've seen across the country. And I've been to Kentlands. I've been to projects in the Denver area, in Los Angeles, in Miami. It really shows what you as a government should be very proud of. I also want to suggest to you in reference to a gentleman that I respect an awful lot, Dennis Schrader, I want to agree with him. That land is not going to remain open. It's not going to happen, not given its location. But that doesn't mean that the only option for you, the decision makers, is a regional shopping center. And let's call it what it is. It's a regional shopping center. There are other options. One of those options, which would be less deleterious, would be a 75,000 square foot max neighborhood shopping center. Another option, which would fit much better, would be the sort of mixed-use, new urbanist, pedestrian-friendly Village of Five Points as an example as well. And that would really piggyback well with the residential that is going to come on next to online next to it, governors and senators. I think you have the authority, as Dennis Schrader correctly said, to say yes. You have the authority to amend the comprehensive plan. It's purely a discretionary and a political position, a decision on your part. You also have the authority to say no, or to say no, not now, or to say, you know, we want to do a better job and take a look at master planning this entire area. Or you might say, you know what, the PLUS plan was reviewing a 330,000 square foot commercial component, and now it's 521,000 or 40% bigger. And it doesn't take into consideration or study or scope out the vineyards nor the Five Points or the other hundreds of thousands of commercial that's been approved online. We're sending this back. We want you to do your job for a change and give us a recommendation that's really comprehensive rather than simply, you know, myopic. And then when the traffic problem's going, well, it wasn't us that approved it. It was, you know, the Sussex County guys, and shame on them, you know. They're never in sync with us. It's... so, I you know, maybe If you feel some, hear some bitterness in my voice about the state, I'm sure you feel it as well. I do want to talk about something that we should all be concerned about, and that is the harmful effect that it could have on some of our older shopping centers on Route 1. And you've already heard the experts speak and lay the foundation. So, you know, my comment needs to be just very, very brief on this, and that is, none of us really need to be experts to know that if this new, brand new spanking shopping center comes online, that there is a very good possibility that the Superfresh from Pelican Square is going to go out of business or move, or the Walmarts, which is shoehorned in the smallest kind of space possible, is going to want to put a superstore there. And, you know, what impact is that going to have on Rehoboth Mall and Pelican Square and some of the other centers as well? You've heard the numbers on our absorption rate, as it's called. You know, when we look at land use, we can look at it on three ways. And a good friend of mine, Phil Cloutier, and I used to talk in these terms: appropriateness of land use, density, and timing. Something may or may not be appropriate land use, and then you can set that aside. It may or may not be appropriate density, and then you can set that aside. And then the timing may not be right because the infrastructure is not there. So on this project here, you might want to take a look at it using that analysis and make a decision. If it doesn't meet all of those levels at the same time, then you would be certainly appropriate in your discretion to say, you know, not for now, come back later. We need a commitment of infrastructure from our State Department of Transportation on dualization, and we need to see a better study because some of the things we've seen from the opposition's traffic expert has raised some concerns for us. The counterbalancing health, welfare, and safety clause is really powerful. It's a tool that we have, and it dictates that we don't always have to approve everything that comes to us because where's the community need, and where's the community burden if we're only taking a look at the, you know, the property rights of the property owner? And, you know, and I've heard Vance say this: you have to balance both. And he's right. And the county's not legally bound to grant the highest and best use. Highest and best, sort of a misnomer, meaning that the use that the developer has in mind for its property that'll make them the most money, because there may be other uses that better serve the community and don't overburden the community with infrastructure they can't afford. I'm very admiring of your zoning density bonus ordinance in the growth zones with the open space and passive recreation area purchase. I wish Newcastle County would do as good a job as you guys have done. I'd like to see us tweak it, maybe, respectfully, by suggesting that you ought to provide more incentivization for TDRs to combine with it, and also couple it with greater incentives for what's called design guidelines. The difference between what we saw some of the housing deterioration that's occurring on Route 1 in the shopping centers, and you wisely put a stop to that, was that we didn't focus here on design guidelines and architectural details. And the difference between use-based zoning, which says, well, you know, you can put in residential and commercial here on the pike, but we're not going to focus on the form of the of each, and we're going to segregate them, it leads to ultimate deterioration. The difference between that and the Village of Five Points is it's based upon form-based zoning, and it focuses on the form so that you don't care that commercial, office, and residential are seamlessly intermeshed together. And you don't care whether office or commercial or residential switches from one to another. And it creates incredible opportunity to get government and the community out of the way. You simply say, here's a manual of design guidelines, okay? And whether it's a Village of Five Points manual or not. And then you say, go do what you do best. And we're going to provide you greater density because here's where we've decided to invest our infrastructure. And now people have the option, and that's the operative word, the option, to walk to where they live, shop, work, and play, and not always have to drive their car. And that's the beauty of a Village of Fox Point. So I would just respectfully suggest to you that you ought to consider that as an alternative here for this site. I just want to hit on just a few points that were made by Dennis Schrader and his experts. First of all, it's not a village style by any definition, and I could go into textbook definition of what it is, but I'm very familiar with the American Planning Association manual and Congress of New Urbanism, and it just doesn't meet those criteria. The pass by internal trips versus new trips. When you have 70% of the new of the of the trips coming that are new, that's not a village center. You, in a mixed-use village, you wouldn't have a, have any more than 20%. The triple left turn off of Dartmouth, do you know anywhere that's being used in Delaware? I want to tell you that both in the ITE manual and in State Department of Transportation elsewhere in the country, they found that that is a very dangerous and flawed plan. And the recommendation is not to approve a triple turn, left turn. The gentleman, Mr. Voschel, I think he was, when he did market demand, he said there are two approaches, and I'm going to simplify what he said, but he said one is to determine the willingness to invest. The other one is to actually analyze supply and demand. Mr. Voschel talked about the willingness to invest. The expert for the other side talked about a measurement of supply and demand. Why should that be important? Because, you know, some people may be willing to bet to say, I can get some of those old tenants to come to my place, and to heck with their shopping center if it goes downhill. You know, it's in my financial interest to get them to come. And that's all I want to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to call the final person I'm going to introduce who doesn't need an introduction is Mr. Tyler.
Mike Tyler.
I missed the first game, John. Pardon? I said I missed the first basketball game. I missed the JV, I'm going to miss the varsity. I'm going to keep going.
I'll try to do my best. For the record, my name is Mike Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. I've been a community activist in the state of Delaware for about 41 years. I don't know why I keep doing this, because the pay isn't quite as good as it ought to be. But
look at Barack Obama, was the same thing. He, look where he is.
A couple of things. Rich Anthony couldn't be here today, but he empowered me and has written why I'm presenting it. I'm not going to read his 17-page presentation. I'm just going to submit it for the record. In opposition, I'll give it to Lawrence.
Thank you. Is that on both cases?
No, that's just on one. I have another one for the other case.
Okay, thank you.
Also, I have in my possession here a petition by the pound.
By the pound.
This petition, which was circulated for a little more than a week, contains probably about 1,600 or 1,700 signatures. We received some today, so I couldn't really give you a good analysis. But very briefly, it says, we, the undersigned, appeal to the county council to deny the proposed rezoning from AR1 agricultural to CR1 commercial on 68 acres of land on the immediate outskirts of Lewis, and the plan to build 472 units on 160 acres on rural Gills Neck Road. These sites are located on critical water recharge land. You've heard all that. Further, the massive commercial complex of more than 500,000 square feet defies good planning, as it will increase traffic in an unsuited and already burdened location. And as such, this development is an affront to maintaining the core values of one of Delaware's most historic towns, Lewis, the first town in the first state. A little bit of analysis. More than 1,000 signers have a Lewis address. Now understand that the greater Lewis area encompasses a pretty wide range. You can go out to Connolly's Chapel and still have a Lewis address. But nonetheless, we have more than 1,000 with a Lewis address. Certainly, we determined by their addresses that they do live within a majority does live within the city limit, a majority of that 1,000 plus. Some 400 plus signers came from Millsboro, Milton, Milford, Lincoln, Rehoboth, Beach, Ocean View, Bethany, Laurel, Selbyville, Dagsboro, Frankfort, Georgetown, and Seaford. So, you consider that this is an off-season. This is in the middle of the summer when we'd have a lot of visitors. We had several signers from out of state and from above the canal, Wilmington, Newark, Hocessin, and Bear, probably 50 or 75 such signatures. So with this, I'll present this to Lawrence for the record.
Thank you very much.
Read every one of them.
Now, some comments before I give you my formal presentation that I heard. One of the things I haven't heard, and I heard all about LOS, that's level of service, and I heard of traffic counts and everything, but nobody talked about truck traffic. Good Lord, this thing is going to attract a lot of trucks on roads that are already burdened. Secondly, Nobody talked about vehicle miles traveled. If you have a regional shopping area, the vehicle mile traveled for employees as well as people coming to it is a lot greater. And what does vehicle miles traveled equate to? Air pollution, safety problems, EMS problems. It just creates things that we don't need, okay? So I just wanted to bring that up from a quality of life and from the fact that we aren't even in compliance now. We used to be. We used to be able to go through inspection. They didn't have to do all those checks, but now they do. Also, I didn't hear about traffic counts on a rainy summer day. When you look at congestion, and I know that that Finley and Lynn, being very well aware of emergency problems on a rainy summer day, one doesn't dare even go onto Route 1. It doesn't matter how many turn lanes you have at Dartmouth Road, you're not going to get around that turn. So we have to consider that, too. The weather was certainly is part of all the things that we do, whether you're in Lewis or whether you're at the beach. But, you know, I think that that's also a problem. For years, I was coming to these meetings, and I heard our friend Joel Leidy. Remember Joel Leidy? Would say, no significant impact. And I asked him one time, how many no significant impacts equal a significant impact? Well, I don't have to answer that anymore, because there's many intersections now at level service F, and Route 1 is a nightmare. Route 1 is the poster child for what you ought not to do. Now, let me read my comments. As a Lewis resident and president of Citizens Coalition, a nonprofit 501c3 organization incorporated in the state of Delaware, I'm opposed to the application of the Lingo Towns and Associates LLC CZ1630 for many reasons. More than 13 years ago, I stood before, well, two of you were here, Dale and George, testifying in opposition to a commercial project that would have had serious negative impact on Lewis. The application was a commercial rezoning for 18 acres of land along King's Highway. Citizens of Lewis, Sussex County, and beyond rose up against this unneeded rezoning, and County Council denied the applicant 4-1. Mr. Cole and Dukes were on that council, as I said, and this was in 1994. And this is why they denied it. No need was established. The application was not in compliance with the land use plan. Now, I'm citing your record.
Who was okay? The one?
Who was the one?
Mr. Dukes?
They're making fun of Mr. Tyler.
I wasn't going to say that, but...
No, Mr. Cole wanted to know.
Okay. No, I didn't say a word, Dale. I knew it was.
But it was Mr. Stevenson, Mr. Collins, Mr. Benson, and Mr. Cole voted for, and you voted against.
That's one I won, Dale.
Which one was it?
I'm sorry?
Which one was it?
It was the Tanger expansion of 18 acres on King's Highway for the outlets. They wanted to build a 300,000-square-foot outlet center right at that Dartmouth Road intersection. Remember, they were going to use a tunnel or bridge? It was cattle crossing. Yeah, they all...
Right.
There are a lot of wetlands there.
Yes, front, yes, the exactly. Highway, in fact, there's still wetlands there, and they haven't built.
They get it past
them. Okay, well, again, I'm citing the official reasons why this was denied. Other sites were available in the C1 General Commercial District. Job opportunities were only speculative. Safety concerns were voiced, such as emergency access. There was inadequate infrastructure in the area, and the project would not enhance the site. They were the official reasons why it was denied and on the record. Today we are again faced with an application to change AR1 land to CR1, and today it is even more critical that the impact of this rezoning will have grave negative impacts on the surrounding communities, on Lewis and its important gateway, King's Highway. Further, we believe that this represents an affront to good planning and once again presents the use that goes against the current land use plan. I know you've heard this, but it says should be limited to neighborhood shopping and businesses. Village scale shopping centers are the preferred location for these services, end quote. Yeah, admittedly, the wording is weak because it doesn't say shall and must. However, the location is still environmentally sensitive, and a commercial development of this scale cannot benefit the environment or the people of Lewis and Sussex County, who are also part of this environment. Another concern is that King's Highway was listed as a major arterial road from Sussex County Ordinance, from the Sussex County Ordinance file. Now, you guys got to remember this. It says, I'm quoting from your ordinance, U.S. 9 from its intersection with Delaware Route 1 to the southwesterly town limit of the town of Lewis. That's the only part of that road that is considered major arterial, because DelDOT doesn't own the road as it goes to the ferry. I haven't heard much comment either about this is a gateway not only to Lewis, but to Cape Henlopen State Park. It's an important gateway to a recreation area, an important recreation area, and it's also an important gateway to a transportation connection, being the Cape May Lewis Ferry. So there, it makes it more of a gateway and rather than just a major arterial. It does not have the look and feel of Route 1 at all. It doesn't have the look and feel of I-95, you know, and that's where you see big outlet centers. You go down to Florida, you've driven down to Florida, and where are all the Tanger outlets? They're right there.
I'd like to go right now.
If you consider that more than 1 million cars use Kings Highway every year with all these trips, it just doesn't make sense to burden it with more. Another consideration should be brought to bear, and I've heard some discussion already about on this commercial request, the entrance of the Villages of Five Points to the proposed entrance of this new shopping center is 1 mile, 1 measly mile, okay? It's not like it's, you know, 7 miles away. Somebody mentioned the shopping center outside St. Augustine. We stay at a motel right close to that. I've never been into that outlet center, but I've been to St. Augustine, which is seven, as you said, 7 miles towards the water. The village already serves local and in some ways regional customers with a supermarket, restaurants, and many other services. What benefit would another commercial hub so close on substandard roads bring to the community? Answer, none. If you consider the cumulative impact of the Villages of Five Points to the traffic and residential impact that the vineyards on Route 9 will create, how much more commercial gridlock do you need to tell you that this site is ill-advised? The area is already on commercial overload. 500,000 square feet of commercial space and parking for thousands of cars will not serve the community. This site is patently superfluous and needless development. As a member of the State Route 1 Land Use and Transportation Committee, you remember this? Mm-hmm. I waved this in front of Bob Wheatley the other day, and he said, Mike, he says, you're acting as if I haven't read it. I hope you guys have read this, because in this, there are a lot of very important pieces of information that are pertinent to what you're looking at today. And I will quote from that in a moment. But it said, according to that study, 5 multi-use activity centers were identified. One was east of Route 1 near Kings Highway, but I suggest that the eventual development of the Villages of Five Points so near to Lewis and accessible without driving on Route 1 negates creating yet another commercial hub in this area. The plan also stated that, in quotes, land outside the activity centers would develop at a reduced density of 1 dwelling unit per acre, and the rest of the units allowed under zoning, and an expanded development district would transfer into the center. The greater density within the centers would compensate for reduced density outside them. And finally, it states, commercial development would develop according to current zoning. And that was something that both the county and the state bought in on. Other concerns loom, and you've heard about impervious surface, acres of asphalt, some 12 acres of buildings pose an imminent serious threat to wellhead protection and jeopardize water resources. I haven't heard how much the irrigation system uses, how much water it uses. It may not use that much. I don't see it running all the time. I haven't seen it running all the time, let's put it that way, when it was in crop. In the face of rampant development in Hocassin some 30 years ago, I remember when the water stopped flowing from the faucets because development hampered water charge of the aquifer. Folks living in higher locations had no water. No water, no people. We can't afford to continue to cover critical recharge land and expect the water supply to continue as if nothing happened. Of course, traffic is a key concern, and I haven't heard anybody talk about coming into Lewis on Kings Highway. I see a lot of bicycles. You know, I'm a cyclist and I always advocate cycling. Well, I cycle out that way. I have to go down now because Route 1 is being under construction. I go down Clay Road. But I see a lot of people who've biked they must have biked on Route 1 because they're on Kings Highway going to Lewis. They're seasonal employees, and we've worked very hard with those seasonal employees, and you've helped us in that campaign. And they're also recreational riders. People now are coming out on Junction Breakwater Trail, and there's even more cycling out there. Yet the accommodations and the jeopardy, I think, that, that's going to be placed on them with that kind of traffic impact is not really appropriate for this area. I say that a large commercial complex in this area runs counter to good planning and the land use plan and what should be a long-range vision for the well-being of the residents of Sussex County. I do take exception to the fact that DelDOT wouldn't force the developer to make the needed road upgrades by placing the burden on the taxpayers. With the current land use plan still being formulated and with so much at stake to protect our water resources, my property rights, and reduce commercial sprawl and non-sustainable growth, I ask that you recommend denial, that you deny this application as presented to you today.
Mike, before you hang up. Can you just make one comment on the appropriateness of having a regional high school across the street from a regional shopping center?
Well, there was some discussion about that, and it, you know, a lot of us who have been in Delaware for a long time remember the problems that Delaware State University had with kids running across the road. They finally built a wall there, but that didn't stop them from going over the wall, I guess, but some kids got killed at the university. Certainly, there's no way you can pedestrianize a four-lane thoroughfare. Look at the problems that DelDOT has had on Route 1. I was currently appointed by Ruth Ann Minner to be on a pedestrian committee that we're looking at pedestrianizing at Route 1, and we're going to be looking at putting crosswalks and timed signals so that they can see the countdown and so forth. But I think with high school kids, you have a different person to deal with. You're not dealing with adult shoppers. You're not dealing with people who maybe have a little more common sense. And I think that does put students at risk when you put a high when you have a high school right across from a shopping center that has attraction. If anybody has ever been up to the, you know, these the big malls, and I haven't been to in years, but I remember Christiana Mall with tons of kids around and everything. I mean, they're kid attractors, and I think it does create an attractive nuisance that I don't believe is appropriate for this area.
And that's the last witness I'm calling. I'm going to sit down.
Is there anyone else here who has not been represented by the folks who have spoken? Just been back here with the board. Considering the hour and the fact that we've got another hearing, we would ask you to consider being brief.
I will try to be brief. I feel I'm eminently qualified to speak because I've lived on Gills Neck Road almost 40 years. When I moved there, there were 10 homes.
Did your name?
My name's Ronald Smith, I'm sorry. And I have a master's degree in natural resources, if that makes any difference. But I don't feel that this is the proper place or site for this change of zoning. In the early 70s, I think Carly Simon had a song out that was called Yellow Taxi. And in that, she said about paving over paradise and making a parking lot. And I think we're very close to doing that right now. The Kings Highway, we already know what Route 1 looks like. You don't need to turn Kings Highway into a gridlock like we get there. There's all, in my mind, there's already above average retail shopping opportunities on Route 1. I don't see why we need more. High housing density does not enhance an area unless there is much greater dedication of open space than build-up areas. In my mind, you should have two-thirds open space, maybe one-third to higher density. And the charge, price charge for bonus density units should reflect the price of land in the area that they're being purchased, okay? It's not fair to people, say, in Lewis, as I understand from planning and zoning, the price for the bonus density units is $20,000 a unit. Well, that isn't going to buy any much open space around Lewis or Lewis Rehoboth or east of Route 1. The price of open space for development should be priced for open space in that area. Okay, it's not fair to people that live in Lewis to buy the open space down in Gumboro.
They're not. It's in the watershed.
It's in the same watershed. That's good to hear. This light at Dartmouth Road and Route 1. There, I've sat through four cycles there to get out on Route 1. And there's a problem we read in the paper all the time about aggressive driving. Well, let me tell you, if you sit at a light, you need to be someplace, and you have to sit at a light for four cycles before you get out on the highway. That really piques the aggressive driving. And to my knowledge, all this traffic report did not include the Schofield 607 homes. And so you're going to have greater than described traffic concentration en route on King's Highway. Another thing that hasn't been talked about is traffic around Lewis. The new Lewis boat ramp has already been bid, so that's going to add a lot more traffic on New Road, which is another ingress-egress road for Lewis. So that'll be clogged up also. And I'd just like to close with a comment. I guess John Matico had said that if all this goes through, they're going to have to change the name of the Cape May-Lewis Ferry to the Cape May Ferry, because you'll come over from Cape May, you won't be able to get on the highway to go anywhere. You have to turn around and go back. Thank you.
Come on down, man.
Good evening. Hi.
Good evening.
My name is Susan Dubray, and I'm the other owner on Gills Neck Road, other than Ron, my neighbor. And I'd like to represent those families with young children. I know that you guys are giving up a lot to be here tonight, but I missed putting my daughter to bed tonight to be here, so I'm really sad about the whole progress on Gills Neck Road. I don't live in the town of Lewis, so you are my only representatives. You are my only voice in this entire process. And I want you to know that I was 27 years old when we bought our house in Lewis. And my husband and I decided to start a family. And since the moment that my daughter was born 4 years ago, we have now endured the knowledge that we are going to have Wolf Point, Hawk's Eye, senators, eventually governors, Village Center, Cadbury, Schofield, Breakwater, all on Gills Neck Road, many with entrances right next to my house. We've been forced to have the front of our house dug up three times. One time, we actually had to pay approximately $10,000 to be forced against our will into the Tidewater sewage treatment. We had to destroy a perfectly functioning septic tank to do so. And that 10 grand came directly out of my daughter's college fund. And I really believe that there is more intrinsic value in this land than what is being spoke of tonight, because I have walked this property, this Gills Neck Road, every day. I run it, I bike it, I drive it. And it is very personal to my heart, and I chose to live here because I know it is special, and it is where I want to raise my daughter, and it is where I want her to eventually be able to say she called her home. And I do not want to mourn the loss of what I envisioned her to be able to say was her home. Thank you very much.
Coming down the side here.
You just stay right there.
Stay right there.
Just stay right. If one of you come, yeah. Just don't have to go back.
Yes, I'm Tom Owen from Lewis, and I just would like to leave with this comment. My concern is that you're being asked to change, as make a zoning change, and a significant one, to a large, very large commercial operation. Let's assume that this plan that they're proposing is something that they really would like to do, but they don't get the retailers to come in, and it fails. Mm-hmm. So now it's changed to a commercial zone already, and that means anything that the zoning permits can be built there. Right. So Yeah, anything that the commercial zone permits can be built there. So there's just no control. It's just unbelievable that who knows what can go in there. Or if they're just showing the plan for the heck of it, they could sell it to somebody and then they could do whatever they want with it. Because the zone has changed, it's done. And you have no control over what someone will do with it. And that's scary. Thank you.
Some patient people here.
Thank you. My name is Sandy Phelan. I am a resident of Lewis. I am also a merchant in Lewis. And I am here with a petition signed by 36 other owners or managers of businesses in historic Lewis for presentation to this council. We, the undersigned, are strongly opposed to upzoning the land adjacent to Gill's Neck Road and King's Highway for the purpose of creating Townsend Village Center. The establishment of such a huge commercial development would destroy historic Lewis's tranquil and attractive downtown. It makes good economic sense for Sussex County to preserve the integrity of successful magnet destinations such as Lewis. And I will leave this.
Right here.
Thank you. And I want you to know there were at least 10 merchants in this room at the start of this hearing. Mm-hmm. Some of them closed their shops to be here. The rest of us paid somebody else to run our businesses so we could be here. We are business owners and managers. We are not stay at home, just let somebody else run our business. We work very hard 7 days a week, all year long, to make Lewis the kind of town it is, and we'd like your support in maintaining that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me, you know, and I appreciate your applause, and everything's cool, mm-hmm. but guess what? You know, we asked you not to do that, and, you know, please don't, okay? Thank you.
Hello, my name is Carolyn Quinn. I live in Lewis. You've received already a large number of letters and faxes. 15 more were given to me this afternoon, so I'd like to submit them.
What was your last name, ma'am?
I'm sorry, Quinn.
Quinn.
Okay. You have a letter in the record. Yes.
So would you be a traffic cop?
You already have a letter in the record.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Wood, and I'm here today with a large group of my fellow homeowners from Bay Crossing. I'd like to ask them to stand. And I might add that we had a much larger group earlier today. I'm going to be brief, since you should all be in receipt of a letter and a petition that was signed by 83 residents expressing our opposition to the zoning change, as well as numerous letters that were written by individual residents in Bay Crossing. We object to the zoning change request for four main reasons. Number one, the zoning change request doesn't comply with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Number two, the developer has failed to present a compelling reason for the zoning change. Number three, we have major concerns about the size and scope of the proposed developments and their impact on traffic and numerous other quality of life issues. Number four, we have grave concerns about the impact on the Cape Henlopen School District, and in particular on Cape Henlopen High School, which is situated directly across the road from the proposed 500,000-square-foot retail establishment. This was prepared before I came here today, and I did not hear anything today that would, you know, change any of these points that I've made. Our letters have highlighted our concerns in much greater detail, and we urge you to take our concerns into consideration in your deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Please, well, we asked you all at the beginning to respect our procedure, but I'm beginning to wonder if you really do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Tell them I'm going to vote yes.
My name is Gavin Braithwaite. I am a Sussex County resident and Lewis merchant for over 15 years. I have a letter from my wife and myself in opposition to rezoning the proposed Townsend Village Center. And I won't go through all the reasons because you've already heard them all today. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. I like that one.
You like that?
I have your letter
you
already, too.
You got to start too. On that one, George?
Yep. Honorable mention.
Honorable.
He's in my letters, too.
Get plaques. We'll have plaques. For
I'll be short.
Yeah, you got
a
chunk.
Well,
you might have chunks some off.
Yes, she did.
Just, take your time. Take some off.
Man. Yeah, I got one.
Take your time.
Okay.
It.
Mary Ann Ennis, 50 Harborview Road, Lewis, Delaware. First of all, I would really like to thank the developers. I think this is the first time in 40 years my husband and I have ever agreed on anything.
Is he still here?
Yeah.
He's got his head down pretty low.
Yeah.
Nice he always night. Does. I'll be very brief.
You're going to have to buy his dinner tonight after he made that comment. He's not going to treat you to dinner.
Honey, neither of us need it. In reviewing the plus application submitted by the Townsend Lingo developers for the Governor's Complex, some application responses seemed incomplete or inaccurate. The following are some of these questions and responses. Now, these questions are all directly from the application that the developer filed. Question, is open space proposed? Applicant's response, yes. And as you can see on the map over here where the blue stream corridor is, that's where the Pothog Creek is, and there's wetlands and woods and everything. They couldn't develop there anyhow. But that's where most of the open space is. The plus response is this. Relocate any open space areas to the part of the parcel within the wellhead protection area and the excellent groundwater recharge area. I don't know that they could do that. Another question. Is the site in the vicinity of any known historical, cultural resources or sites? The applicant's response, yes. The plus response, there are other additional areas of high potential for prehistoric archaeological remains in this area. Now, a young lady was here at the Planning Commission the other day. I believe she's a Native American. I don't know her personally. Her name was Jules Jackson, and she kind of jogged our memory about this. There's a book called The History of Lewis, Delaware by Virginia Cullen. And this is what Virginia Cullen says. The largest of the prehistoric settlements in Lewis, in the Lewis area, was situated near the headwaters of what's now called Wolf Creek or Wolf Glade, and has become known as the Townsend site, deriving its name from that of its present owners. Now, if you will look at the area I just pointed to, you'll see approximately where the Townsend site is. You've been looking at those maps all night long. And the headwaters of Pothog Creek dump right into Wolf Creek or Wolf Glade. So they do dump into another body of water. Knowing that there is archaeological findings there, and the developer mentioned that himself, the question in the application is, would you be open to a site evaluation by the State Preservation Office? The applicant's answer is no. I wonder why a local developer won't allow a study in a local significantly archaeological site. Lewis is the first town, the first state. I really think we should be concerned about the first people in the first town, the first state. Another question. These are not in any order according to the application, but you will find them all in the application. Question in the application. Will this project generate any solid waste? The applicant's response is no. The plus review says, each Delaware household generates approximately 3,000 pounds of solid waste per year. On average, each new house constructed generates an additional 10,009 pounds of construction waste. My own note, I'd like to see the developer use the new development standards that LEED ND 2008 as a way to conserve the environment and also try to diminish the amount of construction materials that they will be having. Another question. Are there known rare, threatened, or endangered species on the site? The applicant's response, no. You heard him say that tonight.
Right.
The plus response, DENREC does have records of rare species within the forested riparian buffer along Pothole Creek. Another question.
Excuse me, ma'am. Did you also read that? I mean, I'm not calling you a liar, but did you also read that they haven't been on the site yet either? I don't understand how they did that, but I mean.
Well, no, I did read that because
they flew over.
The first sentence at the beginning of the paragraph is also. Yes, it does say, although we haven't made an intensive study, it does say exactly what I quoted to you. DENREC says they have records.
Okay.
So I think a record is probably something in writing.
No records. No records.
It said no records?
On the plus program. Yes, it says no records.
Okay, I'll have to look. That was my mistake.
That's
what it says.
Cool. No problem.
I thought it said records. They do have records. All right, another question.
Sometimes we want to see what we want to see. That's cool. You know,
we do. You're absolutely true.
I do the same thing. Thank you.
Has the Army Corps of Engineers signed off on the delineation of wetlands? The applicant's response, no. The plus response, the Corps should be contacted to make the final jurisdictional assessment.
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
And I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh, go right ahead.
Are you talking about the shopping center project, or are you talking about the housing project?
Well, you know, I came to talk about governors. However, when you've read
some of your stuff that you're saying seems like it's.
Well, yeah.
It's related to the
well,
housing project.
We take it now, and then we don't have to take it later.
That's
so
right.
Just let it get
that's
her,
right.
Yeah, let's just
but
keep
on. Since you've read so many of the responses. From the plus review, you know, a lot of it is really cut and paste. So a lot of the responses, you'll have the same thing on every application. Maybe the last line's a little different. At least that's what I found when I've been reading them.
We just have to listen to them like you.
Will there be ground disturbances within 100 feet of wetlands? Within 100 feet of wetlands. Applicant's response, yes. The plus response, a 100-foot upland buffer is the minimum buffer width necessary under most circumstances to protect water quality. Another question. Does this activity encroach on or impact any tax ditch, public ditch, or private ditch? And it says in parentheses, ditch that directs water off-site. And the applicant's response is no. And there is kind of a fuzzy area there. In the next response, the applicant says that he's going to, or she's going to, use bioswales. Now, we do have bioswales in our neighborhood, in fact, in my backyard, and they are ditches, no matter what the actual term is. And there will be some connectivity between Hawkside, Cadbury, and Senators, so these swales may be not just on their property, but on the next property. Define the anticipated outlook for stormwater generated by this site. The applicant's response, the Pothole Creek. Yes, some of the stormwater will go to Pothole Creek. I'm going to point to you because I don't have that little wonderful light.
Well, Dave probably let you borrow
it. Pothole Creek flows into Wolf Glade.
All right.
Will it worsen flooding upstream or downstream of the site? The applicant's response is no. DENREC says there will be more saturated soils in areas like Wolf Neck Spray irrigation system due to higher water tables, reducing the soil's capacity to infiltrate wastewater. The developer believes that they have satisfied the plus review because really it doesn't really have the force of law. Nobody's going to drag them back in. I feel that they should go back for another analysis of the plus review just on things that I, as a layperson, have looked at. Someone had to leave who, her husband had knee surgery, and she asked me to show you this, too. This is 1,000 places to see before you die, and you know that Lewis is in here. And I would say, you better hurry.
I know it's getting late, but...
Come on. No, not you.
No, go back. No. Somebody else.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we're sure.
I think you got a 5-1, 5-0 vote on that.
We're going to let everybody speak who wants to, but we're not going to give people a second chance.
Give the Portland Hammer one, okay?
I just want to say it.
No, for the, I understand.
Can I say something? For those of you who have to leave, I want to congratulate you for being here this long. It's very admirable for somebody to sit through 6 hours of testimony.
Okay.
No clapping.
Yeah, you lose points if you clap. Yeah, okay.
Anytime you're ready. Okay.
Go ahead.
Your name. Good evening. My name is Jules Jackson. That was kind of a cue, I guess. Thank you, ma'am. I am an Indigenous rights activist. I had a nice little mini speech prepared for you gentlemen this evening. However, it went so darn long, my computer died, so.
You're winging. You got plugs behind it.
It's okay. I'll just wing it. It's probably in the best interest of everyone. It'll get us out of here a few seconds sooner. I'll try to be as articulate as possible and recall as many of my points as possible. I'm an Indigenous rights activist. If you need an explanation, I'm an activist for Indigenous rights. I think that probably is self-explanatory. I specifically have researched this area, the Townsend site, in addition to other burial grounds in the area for the past 2 years. I became intrigued when I saw a potential building on the area around the Clay Road intersection of Clay Road and King's Highway. I thought that I recalled my mother mentioning that there, for some reason, it was a site that was unable to be built upon because of some sort of Native American significance. That's what started on this journey. Long story longer, in my research, one of the first phases of my research was to informally interview workers on the site. One of the first site supervisors I encountered, a gentleman I'll discuss later, but I inquired to him why there was a site significance. His reply was, it's a quote-unquote old Indian burial ground out there somewhere. I'll repeat, old Indian burial ground out there somewhere. So that's a person in at least some capacity in charge of site work in that area, not having any idea of delineations, procedures, etc. for burial grounds. That was my first indication that I needed to be involved in this area of my activism. Although I do everything from curriculum reform to environmental protection to this as well. When I further inquired to the gentleman, obviously masking my discontent with his comment, I further inquired to the gentleman, well, have you found anything? Duly inferring materials of archaeological significance and or human remains, the gentleman responded, well, we've gone through stuff, quote unquote, so fast, we don't know what we're looking at. One more time, I'll repeat. We've gone through stuff so fast, we don't know what we're looking at. So obviously, at the conclusion of that incident, shall we say, my curiosity was at least piqued. Again, I commenced with 2 years of research. All of you on the council, if you look into your emails, your email addresses that are listed on the county website will see an email from me. If you could just please respond, and I was inquiring on how to present formally on the committee, obtain placement on the agenda, things of that nature. I'm not sure exactly how to do that, so if you could respond to me there, that would be appreciative, and I would be more than happy to present my materials that I've researched for the past 2 years in a formal presentation. And lastly, I'd like to conclude, and maybe I've as an aspiring lawyer, I've watched a little bit too much Pelican Brief, Aaron Brockovich, but I can't help but notice that public opinion and outcry is at somewhat of a peak. I was happy for once to open the Cape Gazette and not just see real estate and development listings. There were several letters to the editor and people voicing their opinions about the development. And I guess, in a nutshell, that I would like to know what is going to happen when this project is eventually downgraded from 520,000, et cetera, feet or square foot complex to the lower level, because I can tell you this, my grandparents, cousins, aunts, and uncles don't really care if it's a residential complex or if it's a funeral home or if it's housing, it's all building upon them and or archaeological artifacts, and either do the ones that are interned down at the National Museum of History. And that's what I would like to conclude with, and I appreciate Ms. Ennis's comments about respecting the indigenous people. Even if I wasn't of indigenous descent, I still feel as a citizen, a taxpayer, et cetera, it's my job to vocalize these concerns. And lastly, I would like to say that everyone says it. They're not necessarily anti-growth. I am anti-growth. I'll say that on the record. I believe if we didn't build a single piece of anything, we would be fine. I grew up, obviously, born and raised down here, and I've seen my way of life virtually destroyed. I used to grow up seeing tractors up and down Route 1 at the most. Now all I see is development. And coming from a family that somewhat gained some sort of financial head from development, I understand that. I don't personally hold those individuals accountable. A lot of people in the development, you know, I was raised as they were my elders. I respect them to this day. So it's not about that, but it's about having some sort of moral capacity that I think we have to exert in terms of our environment and what we need to leave to future generations. Thank you for allowing me to make these comments. And unless there are any other questions, I yield back the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Your letter. Passion. Your letter is on file.
Got a lady to the left here.
If you're under 30 and not a liberal, you have no.
Yeah, write it down.
If you're over 30 and you're not a conservative, you have no.
I have Ms. Jackson's email on file for the opposition.
Go ahead, Matt.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
My name's Judy Roth, and I'm a resident of Lewis. I grew up on a farm. As a kid, but I just wanted to go on record because I live on King's Highway, and I wanted you to hear the voice of somebody that actually lives on the highway. I saw Mr. Rogers' presentation with the graphs and the charts of the traffic flow, but I'm here to tell you that I live it. We have a real traffic problem. We have it right now. Last year, I asked for a bicycle. It wasn't for recreation. It was so I could bicycle down to Rehoboth on the weekend. When I want to make a left turn and head north on King's Highway, I can't do it. I have to make a right and go out of my way, the opposite way, to go to downtown Lewis. Actually, I use my bike more than my car on the weekend, especially in the summertime, to get to downtown Lewis or downtown Rehoboth.
Me too.
I think it's important that we really try and address our traffic problem and that infrastructure before we entertain the idea of this rezoning project. We have some real traffic problems, and the last time I checked, I thought we were about reducing traffic and trying to facilitate flow and movement of that traffic. I'm almost done. In closing, I would like to propose future families like the Townsends and other families that own farmland and agriculture businesses. My family, as I mentioned before, I grew up on a farm. My family has a farm next door in the state of Maryland. If I'm not mistaken, it could be three times the size of the Townsend property. My family has put that land in a land bank. I would like to suggest again that people consider uses like land banks and things like community shared agriculture businesses as alternatives. Land banks can really benefit both of us. It's a win-win situation for our community and for the landholder. I bet that some people don't even realize that some of these land banks can reap huge tax benefits for the landowner, sometimes almost 100% in tax benefits. And in closing, I would just like to say that if this project is rezoned commercial, I'm not sure that I really want to live in a place where we start to value commercial and retail development over our quality of life, wildlife, and our environment. Thank you for your time.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question?
Yes,
and
sir.
I don't mean to be arguing for an explanation. If you can't get a car out on the highway, you ride your bicycle out there?
I'm forced to. I don't have a choice. On the weekends?
How do you get across the road if you can't get a car across? How do you get across with your bicycle?
I go down to that new light in front of the high school there at Gills Neck Road, and I have to walk my bicycle across that road to pick up the bike trail.
Okay.
And then
okay.
pick up the breakwater path.
Okay.
And I just wanted to add, in the summertime,
Route 1.
Never, no.
Okay.
The only alternative is to take the new breakwater path.
Okay.
And in the summertime, I just wanted to mention that the traffic is so bad that on the weekend, I do all my shopping like on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because to try and go to the outlets or the grocery store, gas station, it's just traffic prohibitive. So I get all that done and kind of hunker down on the weekends, and it's all related to traffic and our traffic problem.
Okay, thank you.
Done. Okay.
And I'm going to submit my letter that I didn't read over here.
Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
My name is Dave Greer, 10 Rhode Island Avenue in Lewis. DelDOT seems to think that they can fix the problem on Kings Highway by dualizing it. Right now, we have two lanes of Kings Highway going out to two lanes of Route 1. Mm-hmm. I brought that up, and I asked that question of them, and they said they're putting three lanes on Route 1. Well, I wasn't quick enough to come back on that one, but I thought about it, and I just have to get this out. At the present time, they're putting a third lane on Route 1 because there's a traffic tie-up on Route 1 and on Kings Highway. So it means that if we have more traffic on Kings Highway, if we put three lanes out there, now, before they finish the third lane on Route 1, there'll be just a greater backup, obviously. When they finish the third lane on Route 1, there's going to be from a few hundred houses coming down Gills Neck Road to 2,000 houses feeding Gills Neck Road. That two lanes of Kings Highway the traffic is almost going to be doubled, and that's going to be going into now one more lane on Route 1. You can't keep putting lanes on roads to accommodate traffics. You build a lane and they will come. Sometime we have to decide how wide the road should be and keep it there. Possibly the solution is that there shouldn't be so much development along Kings Highway feeding out into a road that can't take the capacity. You have to face it sometime. There may be a solution. There may be another road that can be routed down to Rehoboth in back somewhere. I don't know where that is. If they can do that, maybe then we can think about more development. But I think when you can't fit the development in, I think you just have to stop it somewhere. You just can't keep building and ruining our roads.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I'm George Gibson. I live in Bay Crossing as well, 34951 Compass Cove. I would just like to ask, I'm one of those anecdotes that's here. I'd like you to consider some of the anecdotal information that I managed to put together just yesterday. I stopped in at the Marine Lab Library and looked up some elevations for the areas that are under consideration. I'd like you to take very seriously the discussions about hydrologic ramifications. I have some credentials. I worked in that area for some time, and I'm not going to burden you with a string of earned degrees and career in a variety of agencies and with several university facilities, including University of Maryland, Hopkins, and University of Wisconsin, if that helps. At the Lewis Canal seawall on Gills Neck Road, the elevation above mean sea level is 1.5 feet. Mm-hmm. We have a tidal amplitude of 1.5 to 2 feet in this area, depending on the phases of the moon and the seasons of the year.
And here. Get on one of the, there you go. Pull it down.
You can do it, or,
No. 1.5 feet at the Lewis Canal seawall. Gills Neck Road at the railroad grade is 7 feet above sea level. Bookhammer's Pond is 7.5 feet. The proposed development site is 7.5 feet above sea level. The Pothook Creek drainage and wetland averages 5 feet above sea level. The Pothook Creek wetland drainage in our subdivision is 5 feet above sea level. My back door is 3 feet above that 5 feet. Delaware Route 1 east side is estimated at 30 feet. There's a benchmark at Carpenter's Corner that says it's 26 feet above mean sea level, and a benchmark at Route 1 and Route 24 at 29 feet above mean sea level. The implication of this, anecdotally to me, is that Kings Highway and Route 1, in the event of the major storm occasion that isn't a question anymore of if, but when, we all know that we've been hearing it time and again from the meteorologist that we are overdue for a hurricane, and our 100-year storm events, by the way, aren't spaced 100 years apart. That's a statistical assessment that says the probability is 1 every 100. There's no reason not to have 100-year storms back-to-back. But the implication is that those two road systems, as they exist, could serve as levees when we get a storm surge that's going to come into an area that's got about a 2.5-foot gradient over that less than 4-mile run down Kings Highway. The land use development in that area is going to significantly influence groundwater recharge, quality of potable water, and it's also going to influence the ability to assimilate a storm surge coming up, and in a perfect storm setting, the runoff from that same area if there's a tremendous amount of rain that comes with it, such as the folks in New Orleans learned about. That combination, I think, is going to create a tremendous, delicate area right in that circle of land. And I think that sealing up so much of that surface area is only going to exacerbate the problem. And if there's a tremendous amount of residential and commercial development, the magnitude of the damage done when it comes is going to be far greater than if you preserve some of the open space area that is effectively buffering these conditions at this point. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, sir.
Is there anyone else?
The lady over to the right.
Come on up.
Hello, my name is Patricia Kirby Gibbler. I'm a resident of Lewis. I want to officially say that I am hoping that the Sussex County Council will work with the City of Lewis for this project and from here on out in a collaborative way. I'm a newbie to Sussex County. I've worked with other counties as a citizen advocate. I'm also in a position to say that I think collaboration is the way to go these days. We have a lot of land that's outside of everybody's jurisdiction, but as we know, it affects the quality of life of all of us. I would like to say that I don't see that there has been presented an overwhelming need for this rezoning. However, I do think that it's also time, beyond the legalities and beyond the jurisdictions, for everyone who's concerned about Sussex County, the bay, the water, the quality of all of our lives, the environment, our generations, that we see ourselves as looking at a vision of what we want this area to be. We have a long way to go, but we need to start imagining a King's Highway, a Gill's Neck Road, and a new road that continues to sustain the beauty of this area. And I think if we focus on beauty, viability, we can together, all elected representatives and the citizens, find a way to have a win-win in this and every other development situation. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Good.
Question.
You point
question on our point of debate.
I looked it up. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Can I read it to you?
No, ma'am. I read it myself. But if you also read it, you know, it's. And yes, I'll make sure everybody knows up here, okay? Because we're.
Huh? Is there anyone who hasn't spoken yet?
Yep.
That wishes to speak.
I'm not speaking, sir. Please.
If you'd like to submit something, that's
yes. Thank you, John Mateko. I've been handed 166 additional petitions and statements by a Lewis resident.
You don't need to tell us. Just hand them in, sir.
All right. Gail Van Gilder and Chris McEvely.
Okay. That's cool.
Thank you, John.
It's half over.
Is there anyone else who has not been recognized who would like to be heard? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized as a speaker. Mr. Lank?
Sir.
Do you have any comments on whether there's any need to keep the record open?
Well, the commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission, in their deliberation of the public hearing, as I read for their January 10th meeting, left the record open for the purpose of the DLDOT comments. They have been received. They've been submitted to the commission, or were submitted to the commission last week, and the record's open for 20 days from that date.
Right.
So the only reason the documents they left the record open for have now been received.
The documents have been received. The commissioner reviewing them, and the public can comment on those DLDOT comments for 20 days from last Friday.
So that information can come in.
Right. Additional information come, but the only comments the commission will receive as far as written comments will be those relating to the DLDOT comments on the traffic impact study.
That will come to council with their recommendation.
Yes, it will.
So is there any reason to leave our record open since we'll get that information?
Only for that information requested by council.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
What was it? It was to
leave the record open?
Yeah, I would just leave it open. It's such a controversial one. Why don't we just leave it open for
a short
period? Yeah, the record. I mean, that makes well, with all this information.
What do you want to leave it open for?
In general, just leave it open for X number of days.
The record as of the date that planning and zoning right. Closes their record.
Which is January. What is it?
What was it again?
Lawrence? Was it
about 20 days from last Friday? It would have started last Friday morning.
What's the number?
Okay.
It would have been.
I don't know.
Number. 20 days. Hang on a minute.
I forget the date, but anyway, I had it written down.
Why don't we just say 20 days? We close our record a couple days afterwards.
25th.
That's
right,
25th. What's the
date, 29th? It was the 25th is when the record started for 20 days.
Comes out of PNC, right? Is that what I'm saying?
So that would be... That would be like the 18th. It would be the 18th, Monday the 18th. Is that correct?
13th.
Oh,
make a motion that we.
Okay, yeah, I was counting from the day.
First, we defer on conditional or change zone 16:30. Leave the record open to the date stated. What is it? 13th,
February 13th.
That's a Thursday. Got to
close the vote.
Close the business day on February or 13th. That's a Wednesday.
Or written comments.
For written comments, that's correct.
Second,
gentlemen. Who made a motion? Me?
I did. Seconded.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We defer action and leave the records open for written comment until February the 13th at the end of the business day. Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Ryder?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Okay. You want, we're going to take another.
Council's going to take another short break before we begin the next hearing.
Yeah.